Being with you makes us happy as pigs in mud. This is the Midwest Farm Report.
Well, then you're going to be happy because there is a little bit of mud out there and maybe more on the way. It is a crispy start to a Friday morning. Weather details on the way. Stumach is back from vacation. Stand by. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. Welcome back in. You know, pretty quick here, Wisconsin farmers are going to get exceptionally busy with field work and then juggle in trying to feed and take care of animals, and then we'll probably have first cutting of hay just around the corner. A lot of things going on. So when you get an employee that's actually interested in being your partner, you need to treat them right. Jim Versveveld is a University Extension Farm Management Specialist. He's in Jefferson County, and he said it all starts on that first day.
Some of the basic things are start off with what to wear. You know, workers may not be familiar with what the expectation is as far as footwear or gloves or any personal protective equipment that they are supposed to provide. If it's a dairy or a livestock operation, there could be, you know, biosecurity guidelines in place that the employee should know about ahead of time. And then obviously in springtime and fall, you know, to dress in layers as the days warm up, so that you're appropriately dressed throughout the day. And then, you know, simple things like, should I bring a lunch? You know, and if so, where do we eat? And things like that, that, you know, are important to employees and employers sometimes take for granted.
Jim Versveveld, the University Extension Farm Management Specialist, he said you also have to remember a lot of our farm employees may not have a lot of farm background.
We're seeing more and more employees without farm backgrounds. And there's some real safety concerns when it comes to that, knowing how to work around farm equipment, knowing how to work around livestock. People who haven't experienced a cow who has recently calved, you know, may not understand how angry a mama cow can get. And so it's important to cover off on all of those factors and not to assume that the new employee knows those things.
Jim Versveveld, again, University Extension Farm Management Specialist. He's a great guy. You know, the other thing that you may or may not think of on your first day, cell phones. He says that's a question he gets a lot from farm managers. He said it's good to cover that on the first day so expectations are very clear. Different operations can have different policies. Dairies with robots, for example, you need that cell phone as a tool. Other farms, they consider it a distraction or even a safety hazard. So you want to keep those employees with you. You want to keep them happy. Communicate. Let's communicate with the weather. Fresh off his vacation, Stumach, ag meteorologist, joining us for our Compure Financial Ag weather update. And I'm guessing that the weather was better where you were than what we had, although we had a pretty nice weekend last weekend. Not so much
right. This
weekend.
Yeah, the weekend was fine. This one coming up's a little cool. You know, we left upper 70s and 80s yesterday to come back to Wisconsin. I didn't feel bad when I got here, but we are going to be a little cooler. And I have to start off this morning, boy, I wish not, to talk about a frost advisory until 8 a.m. in western Wisconsin. Grant, Crawford, Richland, Vernon, La Crosse County, Trempealeau, Buffalo, Pepin County. There's even a freeze warning up into Chippewa, Eau Claire, Dunn County, that northwest part of Wisconsin. That's for this morning till 8 a.m., a very cool beginning there. That's, of course, where skies have cleared out. Low pressure pulling a cool front off to our east, away from eastern Wisconsin this morning. That's why we had that rain yesterday. La Crosse looks to be kind of wet at 17 hundredths of an inch. Everywhere else, about 4 or 5 hundredths of an inch, what I'm seeing. With that system pulling away, some rain still in lower Michigan, Ohio, but pulling east and away from Wisconsin. We'll see a little more sunshine today, although some clouds redevelop, especially into northern and central Wisconsin. In the central part of the state, even a very slight chance for just a little bit of rain late tonight or early tomorrow, just as a weak secondary front tries to drop in. That's the only threat, and otherwise, sunshine will do a better job of returning, and temperatures begin to moderate, especially towards Sunday. By Sunday and Monday, we get back to normal low 60s for highs. That's great, but there'll be a little rain chance Monday, later day, Monday into Monday night. Doesn't look too bad, but we may be talking a couple of tenths of an inch starting into next week as well. So damp conditions kind of continuing. We aren't going to dry it right out this weekend, and we'll add a little more moisture early next week. I'll have those forecast details right after this.
What do you look for in a lending partner? Someone who supports smart decision-making for your farm or ranch, agribusiness, investment, or community. Someone who values relationships. Someone who, when you face adversity, looks you in the eyes and says, "We are here." Find the lending partner you're looking for at Compeer Financial. Visit Compeer.com to get started today. Compeer Financial is an equal credit opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2023, all rights reserved.
To help take care of your egg operation, you're going to need the brand that you call One Tough Animal. Bobcat Plus, they carry new and used Bobcat equipment and also feature a full service department, parts, rental, so there's no need to worry about downtime. Skid steer loaders, mini excavators, utility vehicles, and so much more. There's a Bobcat Plus location just down the road. Eau Claire, Butler, Appleton, and De Pere. Those chores around the farm just got a lot easier. Stop in or visit BobcatPlus.com. Bobcat, One Tough Animal.
Well, for the folks that are headed to the Midwest Horse Fair today, Stu, they better grab a little heavier coat than they might have otherwise expected.
Yeah, a little heavier coat's going to be breezy, too. That's the one thing I hadn't mentioned. Our Compeer Financial Ag Weather Forecast includes a breezy day. Sunshine in the south, clouds redevelop further ahead north, so more clouds expected in the north later today. Temps ought to be in the very upper 40s and low 50s, but those west winds increasing 10 to 20, even gusting around 30 and 35 miles per hour today. Skies do clear out overnight. And we drop down to the upper 20s, very low 30s. West wind still strong, 5 to 15, gusting to 25. More sunshine Saturday, still kind of cool in the upper 40s, maybe some 50s in the west. The northwest winds at 5 to 15. And by Sunday, sunny skies, upper 50s, maybe a 60 in the south. The west winds 5 to 15. But Pam, a little later Monday into Tuesday, some rain. Temps next week in the upper 50s, kind of like normal, but not quite as mild as it may have been.
Have we got more rain in the forecast?
A little bit that late Monday into Tuesday, a couple of tenths of an inch, a little drying out midweek at least.
Well, we have been picking up a little bit recharge on that soil moisture. The only catch is, like I had that story in front of you, and now everything's greening up, including the weeds.
Yeah, coming on really quick. Looking out of an airplane window yesterday reminded me how it greened up.
Yeah, big time. All right, dude, welcome back. Thanks for joining us.
You betcha. Catch you next week.
Stu Mutker, Ag Meteorologist, with your Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update on a Friday. Compeer Financial is your financial partner, be it agriculture or rural America. They're there for you. Find the details and the resources online, Compeer.com. Always want to remind you, again, we're talking more about the Midwest Horse Fair and some of the housekeeping items that you want to bear in mind if you're headed to the big event either today or anytime between now and Sunday. In fact, Charity Seebecker is going to be out there this morning, Stephanie Hoff a little bit later today. We are also going to be discussing a little bit more some of the trends we see in agriculture. I mentioned that numbers are the name of the game today. Those numbers, as far as agriculture trends and farming, not necessarily the brightest. Stick around.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Don't let sick calves get you down and drain your profits. Get your calves up and moving with BioVet's Calf Electrolyte. Our Baselite product contains balanced electrolytes for restoring and maintaining proper fluid levels in scouring calves. Baselite also provides additional energy to support recovery. It's easy to mix, and calves drink it down to the last drop. Learn more about Baselite at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
At Blaine's Farm and Fleet, we get you the farm supplies you need because we get you. For spring projects of all sizes, we get you the right products at the right prices. Like Estate Lawn and Garden Fertilizer, $29.99. Save $250 on the Massimo T-Boss 760 UTV with power steering. Assorted mud flaps, 10% off, 15% off for rewards members. And save $50 on Lund tonneau covers. Rewards members save an extra $25. We get you the farm supplies you need because we get you. At Blaine's Farm and Fleet.
They say yes to 7 straight days. A traveling dress rehearsal for you to get comfortable in the seat and feel the power behind the smartest purchase you've ever made. The 7-day no questions asked return policy if you need it at Bergstrom Automotive. Join the Bergstrom Automotive family for the yes.
Strange popping sounds coming from your jaw when you eat? Neck or facial pain? Unexplained headaches or migraines? Grinding your teeth or sleep apnea? These could be caused by TMJ disorder, the dysfunction of the jaw muscles and joints. The TMJ and Sleep Center takes a non-invasive, people-friendly approach to realigning your jaw muscles and joints using neuromuscular measurements and custom treatment plans. No surgery, no daily medications. To learn more or schedule a free consultation, visit TMJPainCenter.com.
Farming is dangerous. There's dangers all around us. We work around it and we live around it every day. And we just become desensitized to what's around us.
We go through safety training and, you know, we try and do these things to make sure accidents don't happen, but you just never know.
There are so many farmers that I think take for granted all of the underground utilities that are there.
You don't want to hit a gas pipe because that's your life. The other part of it is if you hit certain things, you're liable for it.
I mean, we kind of know what's out here, but all at the same time, you just always call.
FarmSafe 811 starts with you. Whether you're installing drain tile or doing any sort of digging, always call 811 and wait for any underground lines to be marked and have the depth confirmed. That's farming with care. But if a line does get damaged, go somewhere safe and call 911.
Always keep safety in the back of your mind. Just stay humble.
For more information, go to farmsafe811.org.
Landscapers count on Kalani Topsoil for our consistent quality shredded soil used on major projects. No sticks or rocks to rake out. In fact, it spreads out as smooth as butter and deliveries that are on time every time, so the work crew isn't standing around. Now that saves you time and money in the long run. Landscapes and landscapers love Kalani Topsoil.
Take it from a worm. Trust the guys who know good dirt.
KalaniTopsoil.com.
Now that's good dirt.
We're changing it up on our next farm adventure east. I'm Pam Yonke. Come on along. We're going to Cape Cod, October 19th through the 26th, starting in Boston and visiting a nearby dairy, then out to Martha's Vineyards, where we'll find out about alpacas and experience a sand dunes adventure, plus cranberry production. They don't do it like we do. Visit holidayvacations.com, enter keyword Pam for more information and a travel video, or call 888-557-1020 for a brochure.
Some of America's bravest warriors are returning home wounded. Here's one of them.
My name is Norberto Lara. While I was on a combat patrol, a rocket-propelled grenade took my arm off at the shoulder. I was discharged from the Army, and I've been working with the Wounded Warrior Project since 2007. You don't have to be severely wounded. A lot of guys have post-traumatic stress disorder. Being able to share your story kind of helps you wrap your mind around what did happen over there. My name is Norby, and yes, I do suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder, but I'm okay.
Don't suffer in silence. Contact WoundedWarriorProject.org.
Tom from Tom's Auto Center. You know the colors of a stoplight. Red meaning alert, yellow meaning caution, green meaning it's safe to move forward. We use a similar system in our repair report, which you receive after every service. Red meaning it needs urgent attention, yellow meaning we have concerns, green meaning your vehicle is all good.
Tom's Auto Center. You're the getter, fix, getter done to get you going, guys.
Off Highway 51 in McFarland, a stone's throw from McDonald's.
And now a break from the Farm Report with Pam Yonke for a sports report.
What would you say is like the leader of this team now with Aaron Jones gone?
Yeah, that's a great question. Jones certainly was the leader last year on offense. I mean, now clearly it needs to be Love. He's, you know, Evo, it's tough to jump in and be a leader when you don't have the resume as a player to back it up. And let's be honest, a year ago, Jordan Love just didn't have the resume. He hadn't proven anything on the field. Well, you look at the second half of his season, Evo, where he was absolutely outstanding. Probably a top five quarterback in the National Football League, leads them to the divisional playoffs, and honestly, Evo should come back this year as probably a top five MVP candidate in the league. He's undoubtedly your leader. You can go to some offensive linemen there. Evo, Elton Jenkins has been around a long time. Josh Myers has been around a long time. Rest of those guys are a little bit younger. Rasheed Walker or Zach Tom or Sean Ryan, you know, guys like that, you know, but your leaders then are up front. And, you know, Romeo Doubs has a chance to blossom into a leader on that side of the ball. I would think Evo, especially the way he performed in the postseason. But if you want to just look up at straight up leader, it's clearly best when it is your quarterback, when it is one of your best players, when it is your flat out best player. And Love turned into that a year ago. They've got more options undoubtedly on defense, Evo. They're going to be transitioning there, though, as we know, into that 4-3 base, and we'll see how that plays itself out. Kenny Clark's already and has been, Evo, a terrific leader the last year or two with a really young defensive line, especially last year when you look at that defensive line on a whole, Evo. It was really young with rookies like Brooks and Wooden, and then T.J. Slayton in his first year as a starter. And they were really young up front a year ago. Clark's still young himself, Evo, in at least in human years. I think he's about 28, but it feels like he's been in the league forever. He was a first round pick in 2016, so it's already his ninth year with the organization. Preston Smith, Evo's been around the block and around the league for a long time. With what they're paying Rashawn Gary, Evo, and the fact that this will be his fifth year in the organization, maybe even his sixth.
I think it's his sixth. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it was 2019, I guess, wasn't he? So it's year six for him.
Wild.
And he's more of a quiet leader, Evo, but he is, you know, he is a guy that's thoughtful and he's well spoken when he wants to be. I would say those jump to the forefront in terms of defensive leaders, Evo, probably Clark, Geary, and Preston Smith. Quay Walker's still a little bit young. Isaiah McDuffie hasn't done enough probably on the field yet. We've talked about Jair. He's not there. Eric Stokes has to prove coming back that he can, from injury. Xavier McKinney just showed up, Evo. So, you know, but hey, it's still going to be a really young roster, yeah, top to bottom, Evo. When we look at the last two drafts, 2022, 2023, that almost everybody from there is, you know, from those two units is still going to be on this football team. The average age of this group, the team, Evo, is going to be extremely young. Then you're going to, right now, we look ahead to the 2024 draft. They've got 11 picks. I truthfully, Evo, I don't see 11 spots available right now for guys to make this roster. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Gutekunst sees it differently. I think he winds up taking this down to about 9, where he trades quantity for quality when it's all said and done, and he puts this thing together, and they don't have quite as many rookies on the field and on the roster as they did the last couple of years, Evo. But I guarantee you, when we do all the math in late August, early September, when we see the 53 that made the roster, Evo, it's still going to be one of the youngest teams, across the board in the league. So they're going to need some of those guys we touched on right there to step up and become, you know, if they haven't been leaders up till this point, they certainly have, you know, the most experience in the organization, that it's kind of their time to take that leadership role.
You know, one of my favorite movies, Rob, and a moniker of the Packers, the Young Guns, coming up here, baby. Hell yeah. Hey, Rob. Hey, draft upcoming. Hey, yeah.
No, I mean, undoubtedly, I mean, We saw last year, right? Youth in that league wins. It's a little bit different maybe than some of these other sports where experience a lot of times wins the day. But Green Bay showed last year just...
And now back to the Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
She's sweeter than a glass of chocolate milk and louder than a morning rooster. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. A little on the chilly side this morning for folks in western Wisconsin, southeast Minnesota. They've got frost freeze advisories out till about 8 o'clock today. As we roll into the morning hours, we should see some sunshine, but the winds are what you're going to notice if you've got to be outside today out of the west-northwest. They're going to be pretty gusty, up over 20 miles per hour. Looking for daytime highs today, probably around 51 in the Madison area. Probably around 42 in the La Crosse area, and 54 the expected high along the lakeshore in southeast Wisconsin. Let's see. So what can I tell you? Today is the 19th day of April. On this day back in 1877, Ole Evinrude was born. He was actually born in Oslo, Norway, but came to Wisconsin very early in his life grew up near Cambridge, Wisconsin. He lived in Madison, Pittsburgh, Chicago. He eventually worked as a consulting engineer in Milwaukee in 1910. That's when he invented, you guessed it, the first outboard motor. Ole Evinrude, born on this day back in 1877. On this day in 1775, the American Revolutionary War began. On this day in 1987, the first installment of The Simpsons airs. And happy birthday on this Friday to actress Kate Hudson. She is 45 years young, and now you know. I mentioned the theme today, kind of all about numbers. Well, the numbers are going to be big again this year at the Midwest Horse Fair. Gates open at 7 a.m. this morning for the annual event at the Alliant Energy Center grounds here in Madison. Remember, show runs through Sunday afternoon. And the numbers as far as attendees are going to be big. Number of horses also going to be big. That's according to Terry Gianetti, general manager of the Midwest Horse Fair. She said, in particular, they're welcoming in some very special, very rare horses to this year's show.
We're going to have 39 different breeds and disciplines, which is the most we've ever had. And part of it is our focus on, we, you know, are leveraging the Livestock Conservancy's list of where they define what are critical and threatened breeds. So critical breeds, they define them as there's only 500 in the world globally, and threatened are there's only 5,000 in the world globally.
Terry Gianetti, general manager of the Midwest Horse Fair. Now, a couple other housekeeping items for you if you plan to attend the show. If you did not buy tickets in advance, this is a cash-only gate. Again, let me stress that. No card readers available. So if you have to buy tickets at the gates, it is a cash-only situation. The other thing to bear in mind, parking is going to be at a premium. So either plan on arriving very, very early, or what the Midwest Horse Fair is suggesting, especially on Saturday, for folks to use some of their alternate parking available, they are running shuttle buses from those alternate parking areas to the Midwest Horse Fair. Really a very convenient way to skip the hassle of trying to find a spot at the Alliant Energy Center grounds. So again, those are a couple of the tips to keep in mind if you plan to attend the Midwest Horse Fair. As always, you can find a lot of the details that you're looking for, including directions, including details on those alternate parking sites at MidwestHorseFair.com. Some of the numbers I bring to you this morning, not necessarily real positive about Wisconsin agriculture. The latest census of agriculture points to some shortfalls in the state. Stephanie Hoff has more.
Jeff Hadachek joins us in studio. He's an assistant professor in agricultural and applied economics at UW-Madison. He's also an extension specialist within the Agriculture Institute. Today, he takes a closer look at what the latest census of agriculture says about Wisconsin's farm economy. Jeff tells us what stands out to him.
Yeah, so the biggest thing is we've seen a continued decline in the number of farms. And this isn't just a Wisconsin-specific thing, but this is a trend that's been happening nationally. Farms tend to be exiting the business at a faster rate than the new farms are entering, and farms tend to be growing bigger in size, the farms that do remain in operation.
This is a national trend, but you've seen that Wisconsin's maybe moving at a faster rate when it comes to the decline in the number of farms. Do you know why?
I think a big driver behind that is dairy. I think dairy was a little bit slower to initially have some of these declines in sort of the late 90s compared to crop production. And so that rate is particularly fast for dairy. Rate of decline is particularly fast for dairy farms in recent years. And so that is probably behind the driving number of faster rate in Wisconsin.
No one wants to hear that we're losing farms. What is that telling us about? Maybe it's a sign of the times. Maybe it's our food chain or supply chain.
It's kind of an all of the above of those things. It's not just a single one thing. But I mean, a big driving force behind this is just that larger farms tend to have economies of scale. And so margins on farms, profit margins, tend to be higher than those on smaller farms. And so there is an advantage for farms to grow bigger. And as you grow bigger, the demands for capital, for land, for machinery are also bigger, right? So you almost have, it's a natural part of growth and technological advancement. So when we see those numbers of declining farms, yes, it's a difficult thing, and it reflects the reality that many people are transitioning out of agriculture or transitioning out of their farms. But for an industry as a whole, it doesn't necessarily indicate that the agricultural economy is declining, because we actually see production relatively stable or even growing, and demand for dairy and for other agricultural products, yeah, again, stable or actually growing.
Is there an effort to change the trajectory of the downward trend in farm numbers, or is that just something that's going to happen?
And some of that question is not a matter of if, but when, right? And so in terms of exit. And so some of the efforts, and particularly from, say, UW's perspective or even from a policy perspective, is cushioning that and smoothing that transition out, right? So even for farmers that may be exiting the industry, how can that be done in a way that the transition can be smooth to either the next generation or to the next farm that's taking over? Or how do you weather sort of those shocks that have happened? And particularly in recent years, you know, there's been a lot of volatility in agricultural markets, either from trade disputes, so impacting imports and exports. The pandemic also impacted sort of demand for these products. There's disease that impacts livestock, right? And so some of these things have become more prevalent and harder risks to manage. And I think when we think about policy and sort of weathering the storm, there is a role for policy to play and a role for those sort of outside the industry that to help support through those times of risk and through those times of volatility.
Jeff Hadacek taking some time with us. He's an assistant professor in agricultural and applied economics at UW-Madison, and he's an extension specialist within the Agriculture Institute. As he said, farm numbers are declining in Wisconsin. That's according to the latest census of agriculture. But it's a signal to policymakers and other players in the industry that there are opportunities to improve the farm economy and keep these businesses going. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Sand dunes, alpaca, and cranberry bogs. It's all on our next adventure. I'm Pam Yonke. Come on along. We're going to Cape Cod out east, October 19th through the 26th. We'll start in Boston with a visit to a nearby dairy, then out to Martha's Vineyard, meeting alpacas and going on a sand dunes adventure, plus a visit to a cranberry bog. Find holidayvacations.com, enter keyword Pam for a free travel video, or call 888-557-1024 brochure.
Are you looking to sell your excess construction equipment? Trust Steffes Group's team of professionals to get you the best return on your investment. Steffes Group is a nationally recognized leader in the auction business with over 60 years of experience. Our team of professionals prioritizes honesty, integrity, and outstanding service, and we work with you every step of the way to ensure a smooth and successful auction process. Visit steffesgroup.com to find the sales representative near you and discuss your options today.
Livestock producers in southwest Wisconsin, northeast Iowa, southeast Minnesota have a new marketing opportunity coming their way in 2023. The Equity Livestock Sales Association purchased an idle livestock facility in Maquoketa, Iowa, about 2 months ago. Kurt Larson, president and CEO of Equity Cooperative Livestock Sales Association, says they're really looking forward to being able to expand their marketing services to that Quad Cities area. And he said the facility that they just purchased, pretty much state-of-the-art.
It's a facility built in the 60s, built pretty state-of-the-art, pretty phenomenal office and sales arena. It's got the stadium-style seating. It'll seat about 400 people, much bigger than anything we need, but it's already there. It's, yeah, you know, pretty much ready to go. It just needs some little tweaks. You know, the big thing probably is the scale that's there is pretty well deteriorated, so it's going to need a new scale. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of our glitch point at this time is trying to get that all in place. Scales are not easy to get put in. They're not cheap, so that's going to string us out a little farther than we would have liked to be.
Kurt Larson, president, CEO of the Equity Cooperative Livestock Sales Association, he said that if they had to build that livestock yard and facility from the ground up today, it would cost them between $6 and $8 million. So that purchase of that idle facility in Maquoketa, Iowa, definitely a value play. Kurt still anticipates that they should have livestock coming into that facility and buyers in the chair by sometime, hopefully, late summer, early fall. Quick look at markets. This morning shows December corn up 4 at 4.64, November beans up a nickel at 11.54, July wheat's up 7 at 5.60. Barrel and block cheese were unchanged yesterday. AA butter dropped a half a cent to 2.92. And our May Class 3 milk that goes into cheese up 3 this morning at 17.41.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
At Blaine's Farm and Fleet, we get you the farm supplies you need because we get you. For spring projects of all sizes, we get you the right products at the right prices. Like select 50-pound bags of AgriMaster poultry feed, $13.49. 2.5 gallons of Gordon's Weed and Feed fertilizer, $56.99. Save $250 on a 30-inch Cub Cadet rear-engine riding mower and a 6-foot square Shelter Logic shed in a box, $139.99. We get you the farm supplies you need because we get you. At Blaine's Farm and Fleet.
You bought her something sparkly, glamorous, with a rock that throws a glimmer across the room. You also bought yourself something shiny. It includes a rock with flames that glow across the yard. The wood-powered pizza oven. WPPO offers family-friendly portables to business-savvy models. Wood-powered pizza ovens bringing people together for fun and deliciousness.
Fire good, wife good.
Get fired up with wood-powered pizza ovens at WPPOLLC.com.
Cash and carry discounts and budget-friendly pricing from Wiseway makes completing your flooring project simple. Choose from luxury vinyl, tile, and selected carpet. Perfect for basements, sunrooms, garages, plus campers and trailers. I'm Jeremy Yenser of Wiseway Flooring, inviting you to visit our showroom in Watertown, Lake Mills, and Oconomowoc. See how our cash and carry products might be the right thing for you.
Commercial or residential, the Wise have it. Log on to ineedflooringnow.com.
I'm Will Sweeta. As an engineer, we look for precision, quality, technical expertise, and products that solve long-term problems.
It's what we do at Sweeta Metal Roofing.
Contact us about our eco-friendly and sustainable roofing.
I'm Mike.
Will.
And Mary Sweeta. Enjoy the long-lasting architectural strength and beauty of a Sweeta Metal Roof.
S-W-I-T-A, metalroofing.com.
Sweeta Metal Roofing, the last roof you'll ever need.
Connecting producers and consumers one story at a time. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Next week is Earth Week, and of course we'll be focused in on it. Every day is Earth Day on a Wisconsin farm, and we're going to be sharing some of those stories next week right here on the radio. Also remind you, the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation is hosting a series of webinars next week to focus in on the day-to-day practices that Wisconsin farms are involved in that really help the earth. They'll kick it off on Monday, Earth Day, April 22nd, with a professor from UC Davis talking about the latest carbon research and data from their CLEAR Center. On Wednesday, April 24th, Ben Huber from Insight FS is going to talk about all the data collection and the contracts and the discussion that goes on a day-to-day basis on Wisconsin farms, focused in on pursuing those carbon markets that are out there. And then on Friday, April 26th, they'll wrap up their series with Dan Christensen from PepsiCo, talking about their perspective on carbon throughout the value chain. So three different types of conversations, all beginning at 11 a.m. next week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. You can go to the Wisconsin Farm Bureau website, WFBF.com, and search Earth Day. I mentioned the show this morning, the theme kind of all about the numbers. Well, I'll tell you what, if you are graduating from UW-River Falls, UW-Platteville, or UW-Madison, and you've got an agriculture degree, the job numbers available to you, incredible. Charity Seebecker's got more.
With graduation just around the corner, the University of Wisconsin-Platteville School of Agriculture is buzzing with anticipation and celebration as students prepare to embark on their next adventures in the agricultural industry. I'm Charity Seebecker from the Midwest Farm Report. And amidst these final exams and job interviews that they're going through, I'm told that the job market for these grads is looking good. That's according to Platteville School of Agriculture Director Dr. Tara Montgomery. She tells us just how good this really is.
Well, we're pretty steady across the board right now. There's definitely a lot of interest from employers in the agronomy sector. And there's also a lot of interest out in the industry from, or, you know, with students who have some experience with some of the sustainability practices and what that looks like kind of on the business side of things, right? So carbon credits and some of those kinds of areas. I think that there's been more of an interest also in kind of combining areas from across the campus. So, you know, there's a lot of students who have an interest in maybe the communication and marketing, as you do. And so trying to reach out to either the School of Business or like with the English department to say, how do we work together to make sure that either their students have more experience in agriculture or vice versa. And engineering is always a big one. You know, the sustainability practices, working with equipment. I would say probably our ag engineering technology areas also have a big growth in terms of interest. When we're looking at our precision ag class, there's a lot more interest in what we're doing with data as far as that goes. Our animal science is really strong still. Dairy science is strong. There's a lot of interest in students coming in with those passions. So I think we're doing pretty good as far as numbers go, but there's probably more interest in the industry for students than we have students to put in those jobs. But everybody's seeing that challenge.
Speaking of that, do you have kind of a rough estimate of just how many dairy science or agronomy or majors there are, how many students are coming through?
So right now in dairy science, we're at about between 40 and 45, depending on how you count them. There's the ones that declare, and then there's the ones that are showing up in our classes saying, I can't make up my mind yet. And on the agronomy side, I would say we're probably in the 30 range. It's the interest has been a little bit more challenging from a new freshman standpoint, but a lot of times when they get here, that's when they go, wow, this is cooler than I thought it was going to be, or there's more opportunities than I thought there was going to be. A lot more students coming in with their general education courses kind of taken care of through high school, dual enrollment and things like that. So we're seeing a lot more students going, you know what, I could double major pretty easily and still get out in the amount of time I want to get out. So a lot of that changes once students get here and realize that the opportunities exist.
Are there certain majors that those incoming freshmen kind of have in their mind that a lot of them are gearing towards that, like you said, maybe they're changing their mind then from?
I would say that we're always high in the ag business and animal science. And then students realize that they have opportunities and interests. You know, I've been doing some senior exit surveys recently here, and I'm hearing that a lot when I say, what advice do you have for new freshmen? Or what should we talk about when we're doing recruiting? And that idea of being more of a generalist, or at least considering branching out in your courses, that way you can network with more people, but then also have some skills that the industry really needs from an understanding of kind of a more broader agriculture understanding.
How about internships now? How do those numbers look?
Oh, we have so many people who want our students. It's an awesome problem to have. So any student who wants an internship can find one. I think the biggest challenge always is what are students trying to get out of an internship? Sometimes, because we do require internships, students want to stay closer to home. And so sometimes that limits their opportunities. But there's, in terms of the numbers of students going out and getting interns. Last year, I want to say we were almost to 100, and this year we're shooting for about 85. We had a little dip in enrollment for the kind of the student numbers that would be in that junior class range. But in terms of the number of students percentage-wise that are doing internships, 95% of our students do internships, even if they also, you know, do another experience like study abroad or research. We still are seeing most of our students take advantage of internships.
That was Dr. Tara Montgomery along with us, UW-Platteville School of Agriculture Director. She's excited to see what kind of mark that these soon-to-be alumni can make on the industry. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm